The first reading is Psalm 117, and that's on page 511 of your Bibles. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And the second reading is Revelation chapter 7. Starting at verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing round the throne and round the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
Paul, thank you very much for reading that for us. Please keep your Bibles open at Psalm 117. We're going to be spending our time looking at that psalm together. And please do keep your handouts in front of you. Those outlines should help you along over the next few minutes. And so I want to start us off today with a question. What would it take for them to sing the Lord's praises? That is, I want you to think of a non-Christian person in your life. I'll just put their name in that blank. What would it take for them to become worshippers of our God? Now, for me, if I had to fill in that blank, a few people come to mind. I can think of a number of family members back home who don't yet know the Lord. I think of the guys who I play table tennis with up in King's Cross. That's something I've been getting to this past year. And I can also think of some of the parents at Chris's school who we've gotten to know from drop-off and also from our time after school at the park. And I wonder, who might it be for you? It might be a friend, a loved one, maybe someone that you see during the week, that colleague across the desk, that neighbor down the corridor, that mom you see every week at playgroup. Who is it for you? And again, can I ask, what do you think it would take for that person to move from not knowing God, not caring about God, to worshiping him, loving him, singing his praises? Now, I ask this because when we turn to Psalm 117, that, I think, is the question that this psalm wants to answer. Now, today's psalm, it's an interesting one. It's one psalm in just two verses. It's the shortest chapter in the entire Bible. But while Psalm 117, objectively, is a very, very small psalm, its message, however, it is far from small. Because in these short verses, not only does the psalmist want to answer this big question of how it is that they, the non-Christian people in your life, can come to be those who worship the Lord, but more than that, today's psalm, I think, it's also here to give us great confidence that God truly is able to make that happen. All of which is meant to encourage us to keep calling on those around us to worship our God and to tell of his great love for us. That's where we're headed today. We've got 2 points for the talk today, which you'll find in your handouts. First point, we're going to hear the big call of our psalm today. And in point two, we'll then consider the reason we're given for this call. Which brings us to point one, and the call for all peoples and nations to praise the Lord. Verse one, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. Now, here's a fun fact about our psalm today. Traditionally, when people have read Psalm 117, many have read this psalm as part of a bigger group of psalms from Psalm 113 all the way to Psalm 118, which we've been looking at over these past few weeks together. This group of psalms is often called the Hallel Psalms, or sometimes the Egyptian Hallel, and they get that name because almost all of these psalms either begin or end with the Hebrew word Hallelujah. This call to praise the Lord. If you look closely, you'll see another thread running through all of these psalms. Many of these psalms also pick up on themes from the Exodus, where God rescued his people from Egypt. Hence, Egyptian Hallel. And it's because of this, over the centuries, these psalms, Psalm 113 all the way to Psalm 118, they've typically been sung by God's people at Passover, something which observant Jews still do till this day. However, when we consider this group of praise psalms, here's what I think makes Psalm 117 unique. Because while most of these psalms of praise are directed to Israel, calling on God's people to praise the Lord for his great rescue, when we arrive in Psalm 117, we get a surprise. Did you catch it? Because while, yes, first one is another call to praise, this time, however, it isn't directed to Israel at all. Rather, it's addressed to the nations. Not just God's covenant people, but verse 1, to all peoples. And so it's right from the beginning that we see that though this psalm is short, its scope, however, it is massive. Because Psalm 117, it isn't just some private word to a small group of insiders. No, this is a public broadcast, a global proclamation. It's a call that goes out to everyone, everywhere. Which I think is why the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 15, he quotes this psalm to remind his readers that God's plan for salvation, well, it has always been global. It has always been about both Jew and Gentile, the nations, being saved to worship the Lord through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that means this psalm, it is deeply relevant for us today, isn't it? Because the call of Psalm 117, this is not just ancient poetry to ancient Israel. No, this is a word that speaks to us, to our city, and to our world. And it is therefore a message for your colleague across the desk, the neighbor down the corridor, that mom you see every week at playgroup. Psalm 117 says that God wants them to worship him too. He wants them to praise the Lord. And so when you think of this psalm, again, please don't think, you know, private message on WhatsApp in your family group chat. No, instead, I want you to think more like a message, an address, that you might hear at the UN General Assembly. Just last year, I came across one such address where Prince William, in fact, was speaking to delegations from across the world. His words translated into every language, his message broadcast on global news networks. And in that speech, speaking about the threat of climate change, Prince William, he called on the nations to make peace with nature. He warned that we are living at odds with the natural world, and it is buckling under the pressure of our actions. And he urged that if we are to keep this planet livable for our children and grandchildren, we must act urgently. We can and must change our relationship with the natural world. And friends, Psalm 117 is a bit like that. Not only because it's a global proclamation, but at its heart, it is also an urgent call to make peace. Not with nature, rather it's a call to make peace with the Lord. Right at the start of the Psalms in Psalm chapter 2, which serves as an introduction to the rest of the book, the psalmist describes the relationship between the nations and the Lord. And there, he famously says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain against the Lord and against his anointed?" Friends, that is the default position your colleague, that neighbor down the corridor, that mom you meet every week at playgroup, that is the default position that they are in when it comes to their relationship with the Lord. Psalm 2 says that they are at odds with him. But it's here in Psalm 117 that the psalmist, he urges these very nations, these very peoples, and he says to them, it's time to change. It's time to change your relationship with the Lord. Yes, you might be someone who's at odds with him now. And yes, you may have lived your entire life ignoring him. But friends, verse 1 says, it's time to change. It's time to change that relationship from resisting him, keeping him at arm's length, to worshiping him, praising him. Now, however, at this point, you might be thinking, okay, sure, I get what the psalmist is saying. But, I mean, if I'm someone who is far off, someone who maybe is at odds with the Lord, well, why should I respond? Why should I move from resisting God to praising him? What reason is there for the nations to change their heart? Well, in verse 2, the psalmist wants to show us. And the reason is very simple. The reason it's worth turning to become a worshiper of this God, it is because of his goodness and how graciously he deals with those who belong to him. Verse 2, for great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Point 2, and so having just issued this global proclamation, this worldwide call to all nations and all peoples, the psalmist, he now wants to tell us why the nation should come to praise the Lord. And the reason he gives in verse 2, it's because, for great is his steadfast love toward us. Now, this phrase, steadfast love, it's a phrase that comes from the Hebrew word hesed, sometimes translated as faithful love, sometimes covenant love. It's a word the Bible uses to describe a love that does not waver, does not change. And so this is not the kind of love that comes and goes, or is like a fleeting emotion. No, rather, verse 2, it's the kind of love that is faithful, enduring forever. And notice who the psalmist says this love is directed towards. Great is his steadfast love toward us. That is God's people. And so, friends, do you see? When the psalmist speaks of God's love here, this isn't just a hypothetical or theoretical thing that he's describing. No, when the psalmist speaks of God's love, he is speaking of something which has been seen and experienced in the life of his people, Israel. That's the love we see early on in Israel's history, in Exodus chapter 34. Right after God rescued Israel, Israel turned their backs on the Lord. And yet, this is what the Lord God declares to Moses, to his people. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is love that we see all across the Old Testament. When time after time, God's people rebel against him, wander away from him, and still, the Lord refuses to give up on his people. And ultimately, this steadfast love that the psalmist speaks of, it's the same love that we see at the cross. But even as the crowds mocked him, shouting, "Crucify him," the Lord Jesus, he prays, not to curse or to condemn, but pleading, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know what? It's the striking thing that we see here in Psalm 117 is that having just issued this call to the nations, to the peoples, to come worship the Lord, in verse 2, the psalmist, he holds out this same love as the reason that they should come to praise him. In other words, in Psalm 117, I think what we see is an invitation. An invitation for the nations, to all peoples, to share in God's steadfast love. Isn't that amazing? Now, in our family, we've got this little bedtime ritual. We call it the bedtime blessing. It's something that we picked up from a book, but it's now since become a regular feature during our bedtime routine with the kids. And so when Chris and Emma, they finally put their heads down on the pillow, my wife and I like to ask them, "How much does Mama and Papa love you?" And the kids, they all know what to say. They all say, "To the moon and back." Then we remind them, "I love you no matter what good things you do. I love you no matter what bad things you do. I will love you always and forever. And then we ask, but who loves you even more than Mama and Papa? And the kids say, God does. And so we tell them, rest in his love. Which the kids almost never do, because they usually spend the next 45 minutes monkeying around in bed. But that is just a small picture of the steadfast love that the psalmist is talking about here. It's a love that says, no matter what, I will love you always and forever. But you know, the thing for me, it's one thing, I think, for me as a dad to say that to my own child. I mean, of course I would, right? But it's another thing entirely to say that to someone who is far off, far, far away, a stranger, an enemy at odds. But friends, can you see that is the remarkable thing about Psalm 117? Because after calling the nations, all peoples, the psalmist says, this love, it is for you too. It's an amazing invitation for all peoples to share in the steadfast love of the Lord. And so friends, if you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself one of God's people, first of all, can I just say that we are so, so, so glad that you're here with us at Euston Church. We'd love for you to keep coming along, to keep exploring, to keep asking questions. Please keep doing that. But even more than that, friends, it's my hope that you hear what the Lord is saying to you today in Psalm 117. Yes, you might have been someone who's resisted God, and maybe you've lived your entire life ignoring him. And sure, even right now, you might even feel far, far away from God because of how life has gone. Maybe it's the things that you've done in life. But friends, if that's you, can I assure you of what Psalm 117 says? Because Psalm 117 says that the Lord, the God of the universe, it says that he loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And he invites you to be one of his people, to share in his steadfast love. And so will you respond to this invitation to come to praise him? Now, for those of us who already are part of God's people, brothers and sisters, I hope today's psalm has warmed your heart again to the great privilege it is to belong to the Lord. And I hope this not only fuels your own praise of him, but it will also lead you to call on others to praise the Lord. In just a couple of weeks, we'll have many opportunities to do that. As the new term starts, we're going to see literally thousands of people from nations across the world come to our doorstep. And with Freshers Week, we here at Euston Church, we have the amazing opportunity of telling these people of the God who loves us and the God who loves them. And so why not make the most of that opportunity? Now, however, as I say that, my sense is that some of us might already be thinking, Dan, but really, you know, those scary university students, my colleagues, that neighbor, that mom I see every week at playgroup, then what makes you think they will even care, that they will ever respond to this message of God's steadfast love? And you know what? I think that is a very fair question, because I suspect that is probably how the first readers of this psalm would have felt too. Are these people who had just returned from exile, ruled by the nations, surrounded by peoples who were hostile, or at best, couldn't be bothered. And you know, as they gathered on occasions like the Passover to sing this psalm, to sing Psalm 117, and as they sang, praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples. I've wondered this week, what would have gone through their minds as they were singing these words? And you know, I suspect these words would, in some ways, they would have been inconceivable. And yet, if you'll indulge me, if somehow, through the magic of time travel, we could somehow transport these people, God's people back then, to 2025 and invite them to sit here with us this very Sunday at Euston Church, I wonder, what would they see? Well, they would see us, a room full of people, almost none of which are from ethnic Israel. They would see people from the UK, from Uganda, from Hong Kong, people, and I've counted, from every single continent on earth except Antarctica, gathered to praise the Lord. They would see a Singaporean guy, Singapore, where on earth is that? Calling on others to worship Yahweh. And you know what? If I were a betting person, I would bet that they would be amazed at what God has done and is able to do. Friends, in Christ, the Lord has already begun this great work of calling the nations to himself. And we are living proof of this. And God promises that this is something that he will continue to do. Right at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 7, the Apostle John, he transports us to the end of time. And there we see a great multitude that no one could number, from every tribe and nation and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." Brothers and sisters, that is where we are headed. And so, friends, let's keep calling on others to praise the Lord. Let's keep telling them of his steadfast love. Shall we pray?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to you today with the knowledge that you and you alone are worthy of the highest praise. Thank you for the passage today where you have reminded us of the reason why you have called us to praise you. Thank you for the reminder of your great love towards us and for the reminder that your faithfulness endures forever. Lord, we are sorry for the times we have failed to acknowledge your steadfast love and faithfulness in our lives, turning instead to worship and praise created things and people. Strengthen us, O God, and continually remind us of who you are as we wait eagerly for the day in Revelation where people from every nation, tribe, and tongue experience the blessing of being in your presence, where before your throne, our only natural response is to praise you. Dear God, we now turn to pray for our mission partners, Alkesh and Katie, who are currently serving you in East Asia with their children, Theo and Gloriana. Thank you, God, for how well Theo and Gloriana have settled into life in a new country. Please, God, would you continue to sustain them as they learn a new language? And please, would you provide them with good friends they can build joyful and solid friendships with? Thank you that Alkesh and Katie will be able to hold church retreat for their elders, deacons, and staff. Please help them during this time to grow in unity of purpose and vision. As they prepare for the year ahead, may they lean on your wisdom and listen carefully to your Holy Spirit for guidance. We pray specifically as well for Alkesh and the other elders that you would equip them with an extra helping of wisdom, godliness, and joy as they humbly lead your church. Please help them disciple your people faithfully, God. We pray also for the students who are set to come into their city soon from around the world. Thank you that you've planted them in such a prime area where they can share the gospel with so many around them. We pray that you will open the students' hearts to your word and may you awaken in them a spiritual hunger that only you can fulfill. Through this time, God, please would you sustain the Woods family. Please help them find spiritual refreshment in you, prioritize times of faithful rest, and have an ever-growing love for you and your word. Lord, you have said that people from every nation, tribe, and tongue will praise you in the end. We now pray for those in particularly unreached and persecuted regions in the world, including North Korea, Somalia, Senegal, and very many more. We thank you for the work that your missionaries have done in these regions, at the risk of their own comfort and often at the risk of their own lives. Lord, may you strengthen them in times of discouragement and trouble, helping them fix their eyes on you and on the eternal glory to come. May you provide for their practical needs and remind them of your steadfast love and faithfulness at every step. You have said, O God, that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. We pray, O God, that you stir up in your children's hearts a yearning to make your word and your love known to all peoples. We thank you that you hear all our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.